bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So I want to get something out of the way that I put on my social media over the weekend, and I got a truckload of comments and DMs and all sorts of of all the ridiculous things. But wanted to let you know that this is my last week on 101.7 The Truth. I will not be moving forward with the new company. And I think, as they say, it is what it is. So let's have a great week. Let's have some great fun. Let's move forward and do some things and all that. So, but I was thinking about, as I always do, I guess because I'm a black man. I think about black men, and I think about the things black men need to do, and I think about all those things that need to change. And so I think I'm going to spend this week dispensing advice. Of course, you know, after this week, I'll be on YouTube. So, you know, that's that. Dr. Ken's Truth on YouTube. So that'll be cool. There's so many things in life that we want to do and so many things in life we want to change. And as they say, when you're younger versus older, sometimes people don't want you because you're older. Sometimes people don't want you because you're younger. But in the end, it comes down to time versus wisdom. Right? Time versus wisdom. You can't sit here and say that you have issues with, like I'm in the YouTube chat right now. Somebody said, I can't take all this change. Yes, you can, because life changes. It changes. I'll still be hanging out. You can decide if you want to support the new piece or not. It's completely up to you. But what you shouldn't do is make a decision before you've had time to think and think it through and all that stuff. So I ain't going nowhere. I'll be around. Haven't decided if it's going to be live or if it's going to be 3 days a week or Monday through Thursday. I don't know, because I like my Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm just saying. So I'll probably do Monday through Thursday, definitely. Unless you all tell me you want something different. Then it'll be every day. Every single day, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. So, but that doesn't preclude you from support here. Got it? So let's not get all nonsensical. Because elders have wisdom, young folks have time. I talked about that in the past. And so one of the things I'm going to talk about this week, I want to talk about men. Because I always talk about women, and we talk about women with women, and all that other kind of nonsense like this, right? But I want to talk about the perception of black men in America, especially in Milwaukee. And my top five at five have some interesting things in it by virtue of the fact that it's about women and some of the stuff women are doing. However, I want you to understand, if you're going to change perception, no one's going to beg white America for acceptance. You have to build an undeniable presence, discipline, excellence, influence, that stereotype will just collapse because eventually you'll become the stereotype. Oh, all of them like that. Perception changes when patterns change. So if you want to try to change something, you have to interrupt. You have to disrupt, right? When visibility changes, when power changes, when behavior becomes impossible to ignore, that is the only thing that is going to change the perception of black men in Milwaukee. One way is to not ask permission to be respected as a black man. And then people argue, oh, what's going to be black? What's going to be race? Because you made it that way. You created something, white people, took advantage of it, and then tried to cry race neutrality. Makes no sense. You changed the perception of black men by sustaining cultural, economic, intellectual, and, listen close, personal discipline. Black people ain't responsible for racism, so stop telling us we got to change because of something you did. You created it, you end it, but you don't get to tell us how it affects us. Black people are not responsible for historical oppression. It's in the past. There's nothing you can do to change the past. So I think black people need to, like, build up a little persistence and resilience and all that stuff and move forward. But we're not responsible for it. And we're not responsible for stereotypes that you created of us. We are responsible for what we normalize, what we continue to do that other people use against us. We're responsible for what we celebrate, for what we tolerate. And we're responsible for what we produce moving forward, you know, like your children. Perception is built through repeated exposure. So if you're only exposed to the negative sides of black people, then that's all you're going to get. If people in Milwaukee repeatedly see dysfunction, teen meetups, trashing cars, doing dumb stuff, running red lights, it assumes dysfunction in the black community is normal. So then you can't complain when people call you something, because that's how the majority of you are acting. And when you have a chance to correct it, you say it's culture. If the city repeatedly sees ownership, discipline, innovation, that perception is going to change. Every single ethnic group in America corrected itself. The Jews weren't accepted when they first got here. Italians weren't accepted when they first got here. Irish. They weren't accepted. Chinese, Japanese, they weren't accepted when they first got here. It wasn't overnight and it wasn't perfectly, but they did it intentionally. So here's some things black men can do right now in the city of Milwaukee to change the perception of how black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, all people in America see black men. Number one, become economically dangerous. Not physically dangerous, economically dangerous. Own enough stuff where whenever they have to make a decision, they got to call you. You are a power player at the table. Because we know America respects ownership. Don't matter what you own, but they respect it. If you can sign the check instead of cashing them, people respect you. Next, protect your image with discipline. If you're going to go do some dumb stuff and some silly stuff and some outrageous stuff, go somewhere where there are no cameras, no internet, no pictures, no phones, no nothing. Do what you do and come back and go, hey, I'm great. Because right now we're fighting caricatures. Lazy, irresponsible, hypersexual, emotionally absent, criminal, undisciplined, no control whatsoever. And whether the media is fair or not is irrelevant. It just amplifies the examples that it already has. And to be honest with you, we cooperate with the performance too. I mean, at some point, every time you have a confrontation, it doesn't need to be content. Every weakness doesn't need to become entertainment. Sometimes, watch this. Maturity is revolutionary. Because if you're disciplined as a black man, you can change perception simply by controlling yourself. How you dress, how you speak, how you respond to conflict, how you carry yourself in public, how you conduct business, that matters. The times that I've gotten in trouble the most was when I did just that, because then people got bothered. We as black people are judged as a whole by the visibility of the few. It's not fair, but it is what it is. If you understand systems and you understand processes, you can do anything in life. However, too many of us entertain culture, right? But we're not the owners of the culture. I can attest, because I use myself as an example, a well-spoken, highly informed black man can disrupt more people than a loud, boisterous one. Because ignorance is expensive. It'll cost you too much. When you don't understand contracts, taxes, investing, insurance, politics, media, and you don't know who to call to get it, that's a problem. Somebody else profits from our confusion. But in the end, no matter what we do, we have to control the narrative. We have to tell our story, because they monetize our pain. They monetize our dysfunction, put it in movies, sell it to people, and then we're supposed to say it's okay. When you think about the dysfunction that was in the Michael Jackson family, let alone his life, and they're going to make tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars off of his life and his death. But look at all the things black people have built in Milwaukee. We built music, sports, language, culture, fashion, innovation, the city, leadership, entrepreneurship, faith community, all those things. But they only look at the loudest thing as a thing they want to show that represents us. If I can show something negative, that represents all black men. And we know when we walk in a room, people meet us before they meet us because they assume we're like everybody else. Fair or unfair? But let me be clear. Changing the perception of black men in Milwaukee is not performing for white people. It's not about assimilation. It's not about abandoning black culture. It's about elevating the standard and keeping your identity. How do you do that? Number one, you can wear culture but not become a caricature. You can elevate standards, preserve identity. Embrace blackness without glorifying destruction, right? Elevate standards, preserve identity. Honor struggle, but don't normalize dysfunction. Yeah, you're struggling in your own welfare, but at some point, you got to get off and move forward. Because I'm going to be honest with you. The only time black people are protested against is when we show excellence. And it's too difficult to dismiss. Ownership is too difficult to silence. Intellect is too difficult to manipulate. Strong families, difficult to destroy. Unified communication, that's a whole other thing. So how do you change all this perception? One, you stay rooted, you stay focused, and you stay disciplined. You become so excellent that stereotypes seem like a lie because everything that they've seen is of excellence. We want to build, which is why we got fraternities. That's why we got Prince Hall Masons. That's why we got 100 Black Men. All these organizations, the goal is to build a generation of black men so strong that they no longer need validation in any part of their life, especially from people that are committed to misunderstand them. Makes no sense. Because history has shown us something powerful. I'll leave you with this. Perception might just shape our opportunity, but persistence will definitely shape our destiny.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. We've been talking about how we're going to get black men to change the perspective and the profile of what it is they do. I think every day this week, leading up to Friday, I'm going to pick one topic, and that's going to be my show topic for the day. I want to kick around things that can be done. And so if you have any comments about how do we change it? How do we create destiny? Which drives me to a question I don't know if I should ask. I don't know if I've asked this before, but why can't black people get out of the influence of white society? Like, have so many things, by the way, 833-212-1017, if you want to respond. Why can't black people get out of the way? Get out of the under the influence of white society? Is it that we perceive that they have the control they have? They actually have the control they have? Or we just want to be like every other human in America, in the world, and just belong? I don't know. At some point, we stopped getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. We allow people to do things to us and through us, but then only get ours and discount other things, other people, other entities, which is fine. It's just people can play your human nature against you when you're black to work against you being black, which is weird to me, but that's what we do. Todd, talking text line, said, "Hi, Dr. Ken. I will follow you on whatever platform you're on. I am super upset you're leaving. I recently found you the absolute best talk show host." I'm not reading this because this is what he wrote. "Host I have ever listened to, bar none." Well, thank you for that. You are the best at your craft. I love your perspective on current events and life in general. I will always follow your career in any avenue you choose. Your loyal listener, Todd." Was that Todd from Oconomowoc or Waukesha? Waterford, Todd from Waterford. Okay. Well, thank you for that. But yeah, it's at some point, we keep talking about a colorblind society, but is that what we really want? Do black people really want a colorblind society? Too much of our culture, too much of our life, too much of what we do is tied into our color. But then in order for us to move forward, we let other things happen. And then we take care of ourselves first. Which I get. That's how life goes. But at some point, are we going to give away the culture and miss changing that perspective of negative? Because we perpetuate that a lot. I was walking around this weekend and I just saw black people with, I'm like, well, are you dressed that way because you're poor? Or are you dressed that way because you're dressed that way? Or are you dressed that way because you're just, you know, jamming people and you actually got money? You're just standing outside. Like, here's the problem. Here's what I say. Anytime I see you on a schedule to beg for money, that's a problem for me. I go to this same place every Thursday morning, this same guy shows up to beg for money. I'm like, player, what you doing like Sunday through Wednesday and Friday and Saturday? What you doing? And so I think, yeah. So when you got a system set up, I'm inclined not to help you. The other thing was, before I get to the calls, I offered to give somebody some money. And they said, oh, okay. I said, but what do you need? Oh, man, I'm hungry. I said, why don't you come inside and I'll buy you something to eat? He told me that's okay. I said that. That is why I knew you were lying and I'm not giving you money. I'll admit, I'm kind of hard on. Let me think about if I want to say that before I get beat up. Fitzgerald, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Good afternoon, Dr. Ken. Great topic. I think that when you mentioned earlier in the dialogue about the culture, you referenced culture. And I think that that is a key. And I think part of culture for me and my little bit of understanding is values. And I think if you can get, when you can get black men to have certain values, right, and those values that they have, if they demonstrate how, if those values can influence them how to be a specific way in terms of how they think, and then the results of that thinking, I think now you're on a pathway to maybe correcting that what I hear and some of the problem that you're referring to in terms of black men. Now,
okay,
you know, when you go across the country, I imagine, you know, I don't know what it looks like specifically when you talk about black men and you compare men in the city of Milwaukee to a comparable city, not a big city that's got eight times the population. I'm not talking Chicago. Right. But, you know, compare black men here to, like, Kansas City or, you know, Cleveland or Minneapolis. And then I would be interested in some kind of research to see what kind of success and then the areas of success that black men have. But if we're focusing on here, because we're from here,
right.
I live here, born here.
Well, I think.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
No,
I'm born and raised here.
Half my life I lived in Chicago, the other half I lived here. I am literally smack dab in the middle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was born here. So I've seen the changes and I've, you know, had an opportunity to live in other cities for a little small time.
Okay.
And yeah, it's the values. I know it is. It's the values. And for some reason.
Okay, so then let me challenge you with that because I'm getting short on time. What values are you talking about?
Well, one in particular is self-value. How do you value yourself? So let's start there. Like when you value yourself, how many things do you do that causes harm to yourself? Right? And then when you talk about self-development, is it existential or is it something internal? You have to decide. You have to decide that, right? So once again, like when you start to value your life, yourself, your body, your mind, I would think, just thinking on that, I would do things that's going to enhance my mind, my body, my spirit. You know, I'm going to do positive things to enhance that, what I am. But if I don't value it, you know, hey, you know, it floats however way my mind goes. And so you have to like be centered on, like, I care about for myself in an extreme way, almost to the point where it may be sounding selfish, but it's my self-preservation that I need to have kick in.
I gotta toss this in here.
Oh my.
You're making a huge assumption that people value that. Because you value it. And so the way you see it.
But that's the key. That's the key
to
what you're referring
to. It's not. It's up to that person. If that person doesn't value it, you assume that if they value life or value themselves, then they won't hurt other people, kill other people, do all these other things. That's an assumption.
Well, it's an assumption based on enough eyewitness accountability that most people probably fall into that thinking.
Which is anecdotal at best, so we really don't know. In other words, look at the other side. What's stopping people not from killing people or hurting people or shooting people or stealing?
Values.
We don't know that because we haven't asked that question, have we?
Depends on what you call values.
We're making an assumption. Well, you use the word values. Because you mentioned
about culture.
Right. But you're making an assumption about the outcome of those values. And I don't know if that's true.
Well, it depends on who the person is, as in my case, making the assumption. So if I use my own life, then I'm going to say it's truth to it. And that my life is not that much special than anybody else's. So I'm suggesting that if black men did 50% of the things that I've done in my life, it'd be a lot better place.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're saying I can't guarantee that, but contrary to that, you can't say that it can't be that way either.
I'm saying show me.
Well, that's why we're trying to answer the question.
Okay, show me.
Right?
Show me.
So it would take black men to have a value within the culture that's going to help improve, like that. That's just one aspect of your life. That's just one aspect of value. There's other ways to slice that apple that there's more components to it.
Okay.
But, you know, we're not sitting down writing a book or we're not writing your memoir. So, you know.
Not yet. All right, Fitzgerald. Thank you. I appreciate you. All right. Take care.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
And so we've been kicking it around. Fitzgerald brought up some very good points. I'm running behind a little, but he brought up some very good points as it relates to what do black men value? If I can show what you spend your money on over the last 5 days, I can show you what you value. I can tell whether or not you enjoy something, like something, have your mind on something, if I can see your bank book. You know what I'm saying? Like your balance and all that. However, if you tell me who your 5 closest friends are, I can tell you whether or not you're going to get through the week.
This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You make me feel funny when you come around. Yeah, that's what I found out, honey. What am I doing without you? You make me feel happy.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. We're going to take it easy this week. We ain't going to do too much deep stuff. We're going to take it easy. But I'm going to talk and do all sorts of things and have a great time and reminisce and all that stuff. So 833-212-1017 is the number. Kwanda said... Let me check the YouTube chat. Y'all, That'll be done. Oh, by the way, Kathleen put, will you still be doing your book review, The Spook Who Sat By The Door? Almost definitely. Almost definitely, yes. So I think we'll be doing that, just so you know. Babar, what? What are you talking about, Babar? Welcome back, Dr. Ken, even though you'll be leaving soon. That's from Mao. So you can hit me on at Dr. Ken's Truth on YouTube, and that's my X handle. And LinkedIn, Dr. Kenneth Harris Jr. So I'll be in all them places doing what I do. Let me see what it was. So Kwanda said, Dr. Ken, I pray you enjoyed your birthday weekend. We'll be listening. It'll no longer be. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, look at you. Outstanding. Got some awards and stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Winning. Winning the way you do. And Lucretia Kwanda said, what's up? Cool. I get it. And so one of the things we have to realize and understand that happens in life is that change happens, right? And so as I was going through the news today, I was looking at some of the things from my top five, and I was a little perplexed to the point where I'm going to like ask that question, because it was kind of a weird thing. I don't really understand how we allow ourselves to be manipulated and presented in a way that's not really clear, that's not really positive, and we do it. We talk about weighing whether or not you're black or not, or whether or not you're black enough, or take your black card. We do that silliness here. But in the end, what it came down to is what's acceptable. But is it acceptable to white America, or is it acceptable to black America? Because those two things are mutually exclusive, although there's some things that fit. I can't think of any. I can think of things in white culture that fit black, but not black culture that fits white. We seem to be only in the entertainment and the sports arena acceptable in white society. And then everything after that, you know, we got to fight in business. We got to fight in real estate. We got to fight in investing. We got to fight in home ownership. We got to fight in everything else. And I don't know if that's important enough for us to really bother to. I think we spend an inordinate amount of time not taking advantage of resources instead of just doing what we do. There are some things I do as a black man that I only do with black people. Or if there's a white person in my family, that is my family that I do. And it's, I can't say what somebody else told me, but it's what we do. And sometimes people will invite me to stuff. Hey, can you do such and such? And I go, no. I had an example today. Somebody wanted to introduce me, and then we'll take a break. Somebody wanted to introduce me to somebody because of some of the work I do in the community and all this and that. And I thought about it, and I said, and I guess you can tell me how to do this. 833-212-1017 is the number. How do you tell somebody else who wants to introduce you, and I'm using this, introduce you to somebody? No. Be like, hey, Zach, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. You want to go on the radio. He want to be in the radio, blah, 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 blah. How does Zach say to me, hey, Dr. Ken? Yeah, no. Without sounding pompous, without sounding like I don't really need that. Not really. Now, to be honest with you, when we come back, I need you to answer that question. How do I tell somebody that the person they want to introduce me to, yeah, I'm not interested? Now, I'll tell you why, but I want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. How do you tell somebody who wants to introduce you to somebody that you really don't want to meet them? I need an entryway into that conversation, because I've got like 3 or 4 different answers to that that just might not be appropriate. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. How do I tell someone that I don't want to meet somebody they want to introduce me to?
It's Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I had a question on the floor. How do you tell somebody? Like, hey, thanks for the friend connection, but, you know, I mean, it's easy to do on LinkedIn. It's easy to do on Facebook. You just decide, ignore. And then it keeps popping up, like, ignore. Like, what are we going to do? Decline? Like, what? So somebody says, hey, I want to introduce you to, I got a friend of mine, y'all do the same stuff. And I'm like, I'm not really seeing any utility in really meeting the person. So how do I say thanks, but no thanks? Without it sounding pompous or arrogant, or, I got through. Right? I'm just, yeah. So let me go back through the talk and text line. And the YouTube chat. Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Oh, somebody said when I read the YouTube chat and all that, I don't read the comments. Some of them are. Well, one of the reasons I don't is because if it takes a significant amount of time to have to give the backstory to answer what the person is saying, it's kind of not worth saying. And y'all see it in here, so I guess y'all could talk to each other, but I'm just saying. Lucretia said, what's up, bestie? So you heard that. Yeah, but it just is what it is, you know. Tony said, how do I feel about Tory Lowe leaving? Tory Lowe's a grown man. Tory Lowe can do what he wants, just like I can. If somebody wants you, they do. If they don't, they don't. And you move forward and life happens and you be professional and you go on. Like, what are we doing? I don't really understand that. I don't really. Yeah. We'll just restart study hall on at Dr. Ken's Truth, and we'll just keep moving. Yeah. It's not a big deal. People are relax. Just take it easy, move forward, all that. Right? Ooh. It is perfectly fine. But going back to it, like black stuff. Oh, you need to quit, Babar. You need to quit. So Zeta Shay said, what's your reason for leaving? So I don't, do people even know? Has anybody said anything? So 1017 The Truth was acquired by another company, entity, and they're moving forward and they're changing some of the lineup or all of it, or I don't know. And they're moving forward and I'm not moving forward with them. It's not a, relax. It'll be great. Last week, everything's fine. It just disturbs me that we as black people, getting back to it, that we as black people don't take responsibility for some of the things that we do. That we don't, we want black stuff and we want to do black things, but then when it becomes negative, it's kind of, yeah, I know I'm jumping all the way because I'm reading through all the chats and reading through all the things. But at some point, black people need to be responsible. And so that's why I started out this entire hour for black men to kind of ask them, what y'all doing? Like, what exactly is y'all doing? What are you doing? Because if you stay quiet and don't say anything, you're as bad as the people doing the work. There's a way. My other topic was, how do I tell somebody that wants to be my friend, I won't be their friend? It wasn't like that, though. It wasn't that way. See, now I'm getting, you know, reading too many text messages and going all over the place. But one of the main things before the break was whether or not I was going to, a person said they wanted to introduce me to somebody, and I didn't know how to tell that person thanks, but thanks, but I don't really want to be friends. So here's what I did. Because first it's cold, then it's hot, then it's cold, now it's hot again. Probably because I'm drinking coffee. So one of the things I had to consider, because this is what went through my mind when the person's asking me. Number one, I don't know who this person is. They told me the name, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And they started talking about all the things we had in common. I said, okay. He said, well, this person lives in such and such. And I was like, okay. I'm not really understanding what I would have in common with this particular person and why. Oh, you all do this, you all do that, you all do this, you all do that. And I just connected something that didn't make any sense to me at the time, but now it makes a sense to me now. And I'm going to use race as an issue because I know this person. I've known him for years. He's a friend. He's never done anything negative. But he's a white guy who understands black culture and all that. But he was introduced to me to a foreigner who's from another Latin American country. And he said, yeah, I want to introduce you. You know, you're a black guy and you do stuff with black kids and all that. And then he said this person. And I said to myself, thinking internally, this guy's not black. What what exactly are you saying we have in common? Because we do this or because we do that? And so I was like, I don't know if I want to be friends. And the thing that triggered me was, this guy's not black. He's Latino, which is okay. I'm going to do like everybody else. I got a lot of friends that are Latino. But it's from a different point of view. It ain't black stuff, which is okay. But I don't know if in that space that's going to fly. It'll become too generic. And here's my other reason. And I had to be honest about this because people get mad. Sometimes you get old enough you just don't want to make new friends. Like, dude, like, I got enough friends. I appreciate it. We could be an acquaintance. We can hang out every now and then. We could do that. But I got enough friends. And that sounds mean, right? That sounds mean. But at some point, you got to, like, check it, right? I understand why people that are in their 80s, you'd be like, hey, let's do so-and-so. They'd be like, nah, let's not do that. Yeah, but we're going to, I'm good. Because you get to a point, and I think that age is around, like, 50-ish. You get to a point where you're not really trying to take on too much stuff. Like you... You're not going to take on so much stuff that I got to make. Because honestly, you know the trauma in making new friends? You got to see how they cool, and do you want to get to know their family and friends? And And I did that in elementary school, middle school, high school, college. I'm not doing that anymore. Do that at work. I'm not making any new friends anymore. It's almost to the point where if you don't know me by now, too bad, so sad. If I don't have an understanding or inkling of you doing something, I'm pretty done. And that sounds mean. Mao said you can never have enough friends. Mao clearly is under the age of 50 because Mao don't know what he's talking about. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, top five at five up next.